Thanks so much for listening here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. My next guest, as I mentioned, photojournalist who set out to find the perfect photograph to tell a story in his local newspaper. And he found a family who are dedicated to farm life near Pine Bluff and provided the inspiration for a new book. Craig Schreiner is the photographer. He's a marketing and media relations specialist, works out of the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, teaches photojournalism at Madison Area Technical College, and his new book is called One Small Farm, Photographs of a Wisconsin Way of Life. And I've had a chance to, it's really wonderful photographs that he has here in his book. And I know you're going to enjoy hearing what he has to say. You may have questions about the farm. You may have questions about photography or maybe photojournalism. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show, and you can do that. Craig Schreiner, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Larry. I've listened to you for so many years, I can hardly believe I'm talking with you.
Well, I tell you what, I really enjoyed your looking at your book, One Small Farm. And it captures, I think it really does capture the rhythms and routines of a family farm. In this case, it's the Lamberti. Is that correct pronunciation, the Lamberti family farm?
It's pronounced Lamberti.
Lamberti. How did you get to know them?
It was a chance meeting. I turned down a road that I'd never turned down before, and I saw Jim Lamberti baling hay. And as you mentioned earlier, I was looking for a photograph. I was a photographer for the Wisconsin State Journal newspaper in Madison for 16 years. I was still working there. This was in August of 2009. And we frequently look for photographs that will stand alone on a page and speak for themselves and be interesting to readers, kinds of slice of life types of pictures. Sometimes they're beauty and sometimes they're humor and a variety of different topics. And I was looking for one of those pictures. And I could have gone anywhere that day, but I decided to go into the country, and I drove west to Pine Bluff and then turned south toward Mount Horeb and then on to Jay and on to Valley Spring Road, a road I'd never been down before. And it was about 4 in the afternoon, and Jim Lamberti was there baling hay. And I stopped and started to visit with him and hear his story and about how he was finishing up that day, and he had to get home to milk with his brother Gordy. It was about 4 in the afternoon or so. And they had been farming together all of their lives, and their mother was still there on the farm with them. And I just instinctively asked that day, I asked Jim if I could come and spend some time with them. What he had told me about the farm being 180 acres, 40 dairy cows, small family farm, really just intrigued me and inspired me. And I asked him on the spot if I could come and make some pictures there. And he said, you can come anytime.
Oh.
And I got back there the following February.
And then you spent a lot of time there, off and on.
Well, I was working, still working full-time at the newspaper, teaching that class at METC that you mentioned. And I was dropping in and out of the farm over the course of the next year and a half or so.
And you mentioned the mother, Marie. What is she, 90 or something like that?
Right, 90, 91. Mm-hmm.
91 years old.
Well, yes, and this was, she was in her late 80s when we started this, and still coming to the barn to help Jim and Gordy with the milking in the morning and in the afternoon.
And so certainly Marie and Jim and Gordy, and then Gordy met his wife, Vicky.
Right. Gordy and Vicky were seeing one another, and and they got married during the course of this project in April of 2010.
Yeah, and that did that change Gordy's perspective about life on the farm?
Well, Gordy and Vicky live in Mount Horeb, and so Gordy began commuting to the farm. He moved off the farm for the first time in his life, and I think it did. But he and Jim were together, still together every day, still working, and that speaks to kind of another issue, which is, you know, the level of commitment that these people have, and Gordy and Vicky have a life together, and that I think is a very beautiful aspect of the story and a side story that goes along with it, the relationship there.
Yeah, I would agree. Craig Schreiner, our guest today, a photographer, and has a new book out, One Small Farm, Photographs of a Wisconsin Way of Life. Some beautiful photography and some nice writing, too, in the book. And talking with him about the book and about the subjects who are captured in the book, the Lambertys. And it's great to have him along, and certainly you can join in. If you have a question or comment, maybe it's about photography, maybe it's about the family, maybe it's about small farms and that particular life. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Maybe you could take us through some of the routines and rhythms of daily life on that farm or on, you know, what's a day in the life like?
A day in the life is different than you and I think experience it in the way they there's very little leisure time, it starts with you know, at dawn or before dawn with the morning milking. Jim and Gordy are together in the barn milking in the morning. The sun's often coming up through the windows of the barn as the milking's going on, and then after morning milking is breakfast. And this is around 9 o'clock in the morning. After breakfast comes field work or chores or machinery repairs or go to town for supplies, whatever needs to be done. They might split up at that point. Then lunch. After lunch, depending on the season, is more field work or machine repairs, cut wood for the furnace in winter. But then at 4 o'clock, no matter what they're doing, the brothers came back together again. That was very important. Jim, I think, told me that one would never stick the other with the milking. They would always come together for the afternoon, evening milking. And then I left out dinner. Dinner would happen sometimes before the evening milking, a bite to eat, and then after evening milking would be chores, other things that needed to be done. There's a picture of in the book of Jim leaning on a hoe, and this is a late summer day, June, I think, around 9 in the evening. There's still some light in the sky, and he's got this big grin on his face, and this is a guy that has done a full day of hard manual labor and is finishing up around 9 in the evening by hoeing his garden before going in at night and watching a little TV and then turning in. So long days and not a lot of leisure time, as you and I know it, but the trade-off for them, as they told me, was the beauty of the land and the animals and the independence of being a farmer and being your own boss. That was the trade-off.
And some people would say, well, how do you make, and now here we've got like a couple of, in a way, a couple of different families. We've got, well, at least we've got several people that are kind of relying on that one small farm for their life.
Right, right. And so the question is?
And people are going to say, oh, how do they do it? It's a small farm. Mm-hmm. How do they make enough to, you know, just to serve, to live and to survive?
Well, I wish they were on the line, too. I've had the luxury of having them with me at book talks. They've really been devoted to this book and have come to the book talks I've had. But it's been in the family for a long time. It has been pretty much self-sustaining. What they grew to sustain the dairy herd. And frugal living, avoidance of debt, I think are personal philosophies of theirs, and simplicity, and making do. Jim and Gordy's work clothes were sometimes had big threads where the patches were in. it just spoke to Marie's frugality and the family's frugality, and work clothes were for work. So those were, you know, that's just one simple example of life there.
And you know, as I looked at it, I do not see oversized machinery or, you know, all expensive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's smaller machinery, some of the machinery that they have, the three tractors, or three of their tractors, they do have some modern equipment.
Sure.
But it's smaller equipment. And it's a practical decision. You just don't need a 22-row planter on a 180-acre farm.
Yeah.
So it's what works for them.
Talking today with our guest, Craig Schreiner, photographer, and has a new book out. It's called One Small Farm, Photographs of a Wisconsin Way of Life. Love to hear from you. Maybe you are on a small farm, or maybe you're interested, maybe have had some experiences with it. I hope you'll join us at 800-642-1234. Take a quick look at the news, and then we'll be back with our guests. Stay with us. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Having some fun today talking with our guest, a photojournalist who set out to find the perfect photograph to tell a story in his local newspaper. And what he found instead was a family dedicated to farm life near the town of Pine Bluff, and the inspiration for a new book along the way. Craig Schreiner, our guest photographer, he works in the marketing and media relations office at the UW-Whitewater, teaches photojournalism at Madison Area Technical College. His new book is called One Small Farm, Photographs of a Wisconsin Way of Life, and it's the life of the Lamberty family, who have a small farm, have a farm, and he essentially spent about a year and a half photographing them at one point or another, and has a wonderful collection of photos that are, and some good writing that included in the book, One Small Farm, Photographs of a Wisconsin Way of Life. And, I tell you what, Craig, we've got Gordy in Pine Bluff.
Excellent, excellent.
Joining us here. So I'm going to see if I can get him on.
That's just excellent.
Gordy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I am.
Oh, well, thank you so much for taking some time to be with us. You know, we were talking before the break on, you know, how does a farm or a family with You know, you got a bunch of different people involved in this farm operation. How do you do it? How do you be successful?
Well, the biggest thing is that we had the opportunity to start out small or slow in taking over the farm. My dad and mother put us on a percentage when we started out, and we just took that percentage and we bought some, let's say, cattle, machinery. We updated stuff as we went into it. And the machine we bought was probably used, not too much new stuff, but it was in good shape. And the size of the equipment matched our farm. Like Craig said, we don't need a 22-row corn planter. We have a 4-row corn planter. Well, 4-row corn planters don't cost as much as a 16- and 20-row corn planter. So our overhead for running this farm was a lot less than a lot of other ones. But also at the same time, the negative of it was there was no free time. There was never vacation, so no money was spent on a vacation. I guess that's really the biggest thing. And there was never no hired help because we just were always here on our own. Because basically you couldn't afford hired help to it sometimes. And I guess that really is a negative point of doing the small farm. We didn't earn a whole lot. We made ends meet. We struggled. You know, you paid off your debts and stuff like that, but there was nothing left. And so, you know, the trade-off, or let's say the bad part, is going to be now when we retire, the Social Security checks and the retirement funds are not there compared to what other people have.
Yeah.
But when the farm sells someday, then we will have something, depends on how much, you know, Uncle Sam takes in taxes away, which we don't know. Nobody knows that.
Right.
But, no, it's a wonderful way of farming, or living, I should say that, or was all these years, and will be continued for a while. But it does have some negatives.
Yeah, it does. Well, what did you think about Craig showing up with his camera?
Well, to be at first, you thought just a little news article, okay, it's a one-time thing. It was really nice, you know, to be recognized. And then when he comes back and keeps coming back, and the first month or two, it was kind of awkward for us because, well, you like to talk to people when they come on your farm. And Craig said, no, you just keep going, do your work. Don't bother us. Well, after a couple months, you know, when he'd come driving in, we'd just wave, we'd say hi, and we'd go about our business. And that's actually when, you know, I think Craig got his better shots, because we just kept working. We didn't even know he was there sometimes. You know, he'd hide behind the cows, or he'd be, you know, behind a tree or in the rows of corn stalks watching us from a distance. And I'm sure there was times when he was on the farm and we didn't even know it.
He
was an enjoyable guy.
and he must have served. Did he serve as the official photographer for the wedding?
No, he didn't, by golly, no. But he was there. And, yeah, I will say his photographs are unbeatable.
Yeah.
It was a privilege, Gordy, and I'm so glad you called in to articulate what you did.
Vicki just happened to catch the station and said, call him up. I was in the truck here, so I did.
Oh, well, Gordy, it's much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, thank you again.
Thank you, Gordy. I think, Larry, you probably know from your experience on the show that the everyday lives of ordinary people can be unique and really beautiful. And that's really what I found with the farm. And what Gordy was saying about establishing that trust, that really does take time on any kind of a documentary project. You really have to spend time and establish trust. And I think most people really don't think of their lives as being unique enough for that a journalist would want to come out and photograph it or write about it. But they really are.
Oh, they really are. And you've captured those moments so well. And, you know, just going back to Vicky and the wedding, you know, it's kind of cool that, you know, they were dating, as you point out in the book. There wasn't a lot of time to get together. Vicky knew the only way she was going to see Gordy was to work beside him on the farm.
Right. She would come to the farm. And a lot of people wouldn't be willing to deal with that, but she was.
Yeah.
And that's how they spent time together.
Audrey in Manawa, I'm going to give you a chance. Thank you so much for calling. Hi.
Hey, hello. How are you?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Good. Well, I'm honored to be on. I wanted to make a comment that I am so thrilled and I am fascinated that there is such a book. I've not yet seen it, but I'll be looking for it in the market now. Regarding the small family farm, we went through an era there in the 80s where so many farms were out of business due to the economy and various legislations that were passed. We lost hundreds of thousands of small farms. During the time all that was happening, the farmers were looked down upon. And now, I came from a farm, my husband came from a farm, all of our families did, none of us are on a farm anymore. I am thrilled that there's an interest growing, that it's being photographed, recorded, because it has not been. The farm crisis passed, there's courses now being taught about it at the university level. For those of us that lived through it, it's very hard to put in words, and I hope that Chris will not stop his work with one farm that's still surviving, and it's wonderful. There's very few left. I hope he'll go on and perhaps follow up on those who lived through the farm crisis and had to get out of farming.
Mm.
It is a drastic lifestyle change. It's a change of values. It takes years to adjust after leaving a farm.
I think you're exactly right. It does take a lot of time to adjust to that. I've known many people, and I knew people back then, Audrey, as you're talking about, who went through that. A comment from you, Craig?
Well, thank you for the call, Audrey. That was very kind of you. If there are any farmers listening, thank you for the food. Thank you for the food. My book is just a snapshot in time, really, of one family and one particular lifestyle. But I think my own view is that farming is evolving in a lot of different ways, and it's being refreshed in a lot of different ways. And one example would be your previous guest, Larry.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And at MATC, the last couple of years, I've had 2 years in a row of students do picture stories on CSAs. So I think there's a lot of innovation out there and a lot of thinking going on. My friends Matt and Susan Smith from Mount Horeb, you know, raising food for farmers market and for restaurants. A lot of creative things going on.
They're wonderful people too, aren't they?
Yep.
Wonderful people. And by the way, I should mention that we posted a trailer for your book on our Facebook page. So there's a couple of photos that people can go to the Facebook page and sort of get a taste. These are beautiful photographs. Then get a taste for what the book is about, and also obviously more information about the book itself. Keith in Ontario has a comment. Keith, hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Beautiful pictures. I saw a few of them in the Country Today article, and one that really caught my eye was Marie coming out of the milk house. on a, mm-hmm. on a cold winter morning, all bundled up with a little pail of milk for the breakfast milk. And, mm-hmm. and I've done that myself for so many years, so it was very heartwarming to see. And I really do appreciate this. And your last show also, as your guest mentioned, I'm now no longer doing that type of farming. I now do vegetables and raw milk, much smaller scale. And that's what I'll do until I die. I just love it. I love connecting with people, and my customers are my friends. And mm-hmm. It's more like a family, again, the way it used to be prior to the government interference in family farming. And so thank you for these shows you've been doing in small farms.
Well, Keith, thank you for calling. And for those who may have just tuned in just now, my first guest today was Inga Witcher, who is an organic dairy farmer from Osseo, a host of a new television show on Wisconsin Public Television's called Around the Farm Table. She's an organic dairy farmer from Osseo, has a small farm there. They milk 15 cows they're milking right now. But it's a wonderful television series, and yeah, I think it's actually a couple of kind of a nice pairing of a couple of the book and the television show are really, and I think a nice pairing. And Keith, I'm glad you were able to call. Appreciate it very much. Mm-hmm. Donna and maybe Craig, maybe you want to make another comment. Or,
well, he alluded to the family aspect of it, and I guess I've thought a lot about that part of it. Where even people, there is a sentimental attachment to these places, even for people who didn't grow up there. And I didn't write this down, but I've thought about it a lot. And I think it has to do with the idea that on these older farms, people spent all of their waking hours with the most important people in their lives, their immediate family, children, parents, siblings, and even grandparents. And everyone worked together. And after that, apart from that came neighbors and friends, and then finally the outside world, whatever that happened to be. But now, today, it's kind of the opposite. We spend all of our time in that outside world, working away from home, often mostly around strangers, and we spend just a little fraction of each day with those most important people in our lives. And that's an aspect of it I've thought a lot about. To be fair, you know, not all of those farms were happy places, but a lot of them were.
Yeah, absolutely. Keith, thank you again. Appreciate it very much. Donna in Glenwood City, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello. I have just tuned into your show a couple of minutes ago here, and my husband and I have a small farm in western Wisconsin. We're just outside Glenwood City, and I don't know the gentleman's name who was just speaking, but he said thank you for the food. And I tell you, I got pretty emotional when he said that, because we oftentimes feel like a kind of a forgotten segment of the population. And, you know, there are farmers out there on small farms or large ones who spend their lives and working so hard and giving up so much, and it just feels like people don't understand where food comes from. I just don't feel that there's an appreciation out there. So I wanted to thank him for his comment, for his thanks, and I appreciate your show, and I appreciate that you're doing this. Thank you so much.
Well, Donna, thank you very much for calling, and thank you for what you do. I'm sure, Craig, you're going to echo that.
Indeed. Thank you for the food, and I really, really appreciate that call.
And I hope Donna, you have a chance to take a look and see Craig's book, because I'm pretty sure this book is going to resonate well with you, given your background and your interests. And frankly, I think it's going to resonate with a lot of people, and those not necessarily from a farm, but certainly those people from a farm, it's going to resonate very well with, and those who are not are going to learn a lot, and through these photographs, and I think get more of an appreciation for life on a farm, especially through his book, One Small Farm. I want to give others a chance to join in. You can join us, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Dave in Wisconsin Rapids, it's your turn. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Good morning, Larry, and good morning to your guests. I spent summers on my grandparents' farm in Portage County when I was a boy, and I can remember back at a time before they had electricity in the 40s and before they had a tractor, when their lives were a lot like Amish people of today. I hadn't thought of it until recently, but I was recently involved in a project that was started by Don Romanson over in Portage County and Justin and Lynn Isherwood. You may be familiar with Justin Isherwood's writing.
Yeah, I've had Justin on the show.
And we went out with a group of volunteers and photographed every dairy barn in Portage County because they were disappearing from the face of the earth. And during this project, these are rough numbers, but we learned that only about one of every 10 dairy barns in the county was still being used as a dairy barn. That was in 2010, I believe. And I've driven by some of the barns we have photographed and that are now gone already, either demolished or wind took them down and so forth. And anyway, the group has produced calendars with photographs of these barns, and they're available for people who, from Portage County or other places, maybe people who lived in Portage County, who would be interested in. There's some beautiful photography, and it was really a nice project to be involved in.
And where did you say it was? Where can people get to that, Dave?
Well, you know, I'm out having a hunting shack near Pittsville right now. I don't have the information, but.
Well, if we put in Portage County photos of barns.
Portage County photos of barns, you'll find it. And there are some beautiful calendars, and they're available for sale. And I know there are Portage County people here in Wood County, like, for example, that's where my grandparents' farms mm-hmm. were. And but it was an interesting project, but kind of sad to see some of these barns and imagine what they were like back in the 40s and 50s when I was a boy.
Yeah,
and they were still threshing with a threshing machine and a steam engine.
Yeah, I thank you very much for calling. Comment from you, Craig?
I think it's all valuable. I'm personally more interested in the aspect of the people, but yes, I think things. I can't remember who said this, but things do reveal themselves with their passing, and that's certainly true of these historic barns.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dave, thanks again. Valerie, do we have time?
If we're running a little short, Larry,
yeah.
may I just interject one thing?
Absolutely.
The State Historical Society Press and the Wisconsin State Journal newspaper are hosting a book signing event today between 3 and 5 this afternoon.
Oh, no. Okay, tell us some more about it. So it's at, where is it located?
At Capital Newspapers, which is the home of the Wisconsin State Journal and the Capital Times in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And the address is 1901 Fish Hatchery Road. It's quite close to the Beltline toward the city.
It is, and it's from, now, what are the times again? What's the time again?
Between 3 and 5 this afternoon.
And you'll be there?
I'll be there.
And there'll be books, probably books for purchase, and probably going to be signing books?
Correct.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Well, if people didn't see the pictures today on the radio, they can come and come and see them this afternoon.
You know, that sounds wonderful. I wish we had. We're out of time. Valerie in Green Bay, who mentored 4 to 5 young farmers and teaches, she says there's more interest in farming and beginning in farming, and that's. There's a school for beginning farmers through the University of Wisconsin, the College of Ag and Life Sciences, and UW Extension. We've had that. And so there is more interest, and I'm assuming and hoping that your book, Craig, finds a large audience, because I think it's really, really captures a Wisconsin way of life, as part of the title of the book indicates. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
It's been an honor to be with you and your guests, Larry. Thank you.
Oh, appreciate it very much. Craig Schreiner, his book, One Small Farm, Photographs of a Wisconsin Way of Life. Some wonderful photography here. And also the Inga Witcher's television program, Around the Farm Table. Hope you'll see that on Thursday at 7:30 on Wisconsin Public Television and Milwaukee Public Television. I really enjoyed today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Stay with us.
Weekends are fun and informative.
We sent him home happy with a smile, and that's all I wanted.
Gee, I always liked the 5,000.
Why?
Well, because I never owned one.
Kentucky Fried now has this grilled chicken, and I know there's a guy in back painting black stripes, parallel black stripes on each piece of chicken. That's got to be.
It's a job.
Listen to the Ideas Network on the weekends. Check out the schedule at WPR.org.
Support for WPR comes from Wasco Windows, manufacturing and installing replacement windows and doors for Wisconsin's climate. Locations throughout southeast Wisconsin and the Fox Valley, and online at wascowindows.com. Support also comes from The Century House, featuring Herman Miller furniture and stressless Norwegian recliners. On University Avenue in Madison, The Century House, furnishing homes and offices since 1948. More at centuryhouseinc.com.